Shkayach. Shkayach Naftali. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehi bedvarei. Vayechi Yankev. Beretz Mitzrayim. 17 Shono. It's on. Okay, I think we're okay now. Anyway, the parsha begins here, and Rashi brings it down beferish as a parsha stume. It's a closed parsha. So Rashi gives several reasons. We spoke a little bit by Shalashudis about the first pshat in Rashi. Now we'll talk a little bit about the second pshat in Rashi. And Rashi says the reason why most parshas have at least a space of 9 letters between the parshas, and this parsha has no space. One letter, like a space between two words. And Rashi says, Shebikesh Yaakov legalos es haketz v'nistam mimenu. Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the end, and Hashem covered it up. Hashem didn't tell him. So, we need to understand, What did Yaakov want to tell us that Hashem didn't want him to tell us? And why is the Torah letting us know that? The Torah is going out of its way to tell us that there's something here that Yaakov wanted to do and Hashem didn't let him do it. I want to be aiming on another point that we know Yaakov Avinu has two names. Yankiv and Yisrael. Those are the two names. But the parasha, if you look at the Ascholz of parasha, it starts with Vayichi Yaakov, and the next pasuk already, Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lamus. Starts with the word Yaakov, and immediately it goes to Yisrael. Usually there's a reason for the switch off here. In one, sometimes we find the name Yaakov in one Indian, sometimes we'll find the name Yisrael in another Indian. Here it's one Indian. For some reason, the Torah separates between the Vayichi Yaakov and the Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lamus. In Svara, perhaps, we could say the opposite would be logical. Because as Yaakov, Yisrael is the name of strength, and Yaakov, we know, is the name of weakness, more the weakened state. Chazal tells us when we're doing Averis or whatever, Yaakov is not the ideal. Yisrael is the ideal. So logically, it should say Vayichi is a lashon of life. Vayichi Yisrael, where it's talking about strength, should use the stronger name. And then when it says Vayikrevu, it would make sense to say Vayikrevu Yimei Yaakov Lomos. Adarabe. There it should go to the word Yaakov, if at all. If there's going to be a switch, it should switch from Yisrael to Yaakov, not from Yaakov to Yisrael. Okay, that's one nekuda. The second important nekuda that I would like to bring out is taka when Yaakov Avinu tries to reveal the case. It starts off also Vayikra Yaakov Obonav. It starts off with the words Yaakov describing Yaakov Avinu. And then it says Heyosvu v'agida lochem ashayikro eschem ba'achris hayomim. That's what he wanted to tell us. The end of days. Hikovsu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov. Come and listen to me. V'shimu el Yisrael avich. Again now. in the same pasuk, going from Yaakov to Yisrael. First he gathers, calls them together, he says, listen to Yaakov, and then he says, Vishimu Yisrael Avich. And then he goes through the brachas. So what's strange is that it doesn't seem to be understandable that if Yaakov Avinu's focus, purpose, was to call his kids together and to tell them when Mashiach is going to come or what's going to happen by Ikvus of the Mashiach, and then he couldn't tell them that, so tell them something about Mashiach. You can't tell them what you actually wanted to tell them. The Shekhinah covered that up from him. He gives them brachas. What does that have to do with Mashiach? He called them to tell them when Mashiach is going to come. Or what's going to happen. The literal taich is, Esher yikra eschem b'achris hayomim. He was going to explain to them the Dubna Magadas and Arichas that Yaakov Avinu wanted to do two things. Tell them when, and maybe even more about it. How it's going to unravel. So you'd think, okay, so Hashem told him no. So now we can talk about Mashiach. There's a lot to say about Mashiach. Beis Hamikdash, Mashiach, Molord's Day is Hashem. The Nevi'im told us a lot of good things. Yaakov could have done that. Because you can't tell us the top mystery. So give us a basic knowledge. Give us a basic information. Sometimes he asks for a recipe. Some women are very possessive of their recipes. They don't want to give out a recipe. But they'll give more or less. I'm not going to tell you exactly what I do. But, So Yaakov Avinu, he can't give us the exact recipe. Good, so tell us about Mashiach, tell us the beautiful things, what's going to be. Tzadikim Yoshim, Ol Malchus. There's so many nice things that I could think of. Yaakov Avinu. Instead, he seems to go on totally new track. It's unlikely that he totally let go of his agenda, and now he went into something that has nothing to do b'chlal with his agenda. What's the shaychus? And then he goes through a list. As he goes through his sons, he seems to be quite stark with most of them. I mean, Reuven he knocks off like, right? That's a major wham. Not too many people tell their kids something like that. You lost your bechira. That's pretty stark. Knocked him off. Shimon v'Levi. Klei chomos mechira say. They got knocked off too. Achal came b'yank. Oro rapom ki oz. Vevrosom ki koshosom. He cursed their anger over there. Achal came b'yankiv, afitzim b'Yisrael. Yehuda, Itaka gives him a bracha, but he reminds him about Yosef, Miterav b'ni Elisa. Yehuda. Then, Zvulun, Yisachar, nice things. Zvulun's a businessman, supports Yisachar. Then, he goes to God. Some say God was a positive thing, God was a negative thing. There's a big tumult what he meant by God. Naftali say Yalla Shlucha. Clearly, some of the sons got anything but a bracha. I mean, they got a lashon of Oror. Oror apom kios. I wouldn't say it's a full blown out curse, but I wouldn't call Oror apom a bracha. Okay? It's whatever you want to call it. You know, constructive criticism, okay? That would be painting it in a very nice picture. Constructive criticism. A bracha it wasn't. Comes the Torah, after he finishes the whole thing, some of the Shvatim Itaka said nice things. Some of the Shvatim laced into them. And some of the Shvatim seem to be powerful. The end is, Kol Eilu Shiftei Yisrael Shnei Masp. So Chazal tell us, they're all the same. All the same. Because that's how it ends. It's obviously not coming to tell you count your fingers that there's 12 here. Right? Kol Eile Shiftei Yisrael Shneimos. So Chazal tells us don't make a mistake to think just because some of them got seem to get brachas, and some of them seem to get something else, you should know they're all the same. They're all the same. I thought, Ruvain, Chilat, Yitzuya, Lashimon, Velevi, or Hapam, Kios. They're all the same? They're not all the same. And then, Vayivorech, Oysam, Ish, Kibirchose, Berachas. They all got brachas. That's it. But then, when it says, Buni Bel, bless them, Kibirchose, Berachasim. That alone seems to be a shtickle steal. Because when you give somebody a bracha, you want to bless him with something he doesn't have. Right? Person comes for a bracha, right? So, Rockefeller doesn't come for a bracha for panos. He may come for a bracha, I should be happy. Be a happy person. Yeah? Huh? But the pasuk says that Yaakov gave each one of them a bracha, kibirchosai, like what they already had. So then they don't need it. Right? You come for bracha for gezunt. The person usually comes for bracha for gezunt. He needs a full shleim if he's sick. If he's well, he doesn't come for a full shleim. He may come that he should stay well. He doesn't come for a full shleim. Right? That's how he gave this. But here the pasuk is made, number one, that Yaakov gave a bracha to all of them, but he gave them brachas that they want, that they had. It sounds like these are brachas that they had. Okay. Anyway, I would like to tie these ideas with Asar B'Tavis. We're holding now Asar B'Tavis. We know that one of the most unique elements of Asar B'Tavis we began to discuss last Shabbos is the fact that Asar B'Tavis seems to be such a chomer tainus. I got several calls from several people about the Chasanim and Kalos fasting. Say the ones that are going. Mitzvah Shem, the Yitzi is going to. Mitzvah Shem, make a Chasna Sunday. Bishah Tova. I had a Talmud got married yesterday. Wanted to know about the Tainus because they just fasted yesterday. Do you have to fast 2 days? And it came out in a row. So I said that, Asor B'Tavis is not an easy fast. It's more chomer than the tainus of the chosim kala. Yom chupasim. Even Shabbos. Tavud Ram. Even Shabbos, you fast the Asor B'Tavis. It's the only fast day we have on Friday. That we fast on Friday. The only other fast we have that's Shabbos is Yom Kippur. It's pretty stark. Asor B'Tavis. So everybody asked the question. How can Asor B'Tavis? A, where's the source? So that we found that was the source. And B, even if we could find a source, we have to try to make it make sense. Why would Asar B'Tavis? Asar B'Tavis would appear to be from the weakest fast days. You would think that Asar B'Tavis is from the weakest fast days. Why? Because all the other fast days represent either a tragedy that occurred, like Tisha B'Av, like Tzem Gedalia, right? A tragedy that occurred. Or a tragedy that was imminent. Shivasa B'Tamos. Some imminent danger that happened. Asar B'Tavis is very far removed. It was a long time before the Chum. According to some opinions, years before the Chum. Yeah. 2.5 years before the Chum. Long time before the Chum. So you would think that Asar B'Tavis sensibly would be from the weakest tzimis for that reason. Definitely not from the Chomer tzimis. So the Chasam Sofer tries to use this as a way of explaining the fact that it was premature, or so early, that makes it more Chomer because it's like it's the Haschol, Haschalta de Pronus. The Bnei Yisachar says a similar idea. That the reason why Asar B'Tavis is so stringent is because it started the whole thing. It's almost like you're looking back to the source. Started it. What bothered me with the Chasam Sofer's approach is that why don't we find other chumras to Asar B'Tavis? Other than the fact that you fast on Shabbos. If it would come out on Shabbos. It should be like Tisha B'Av or more. It should be also in the Chamishei Nuyim. right? You should be not allowed to wash your body. You should have a tashmish hamita. You should sit on the floor. What if it's more chomer than Tisha B'Av? For whatever reason, because it started everything, whatever the reason is, then it should have all the chumras. Why would it specifically have this chumra, but all the other things? Somebody's a chayla, for instance, they don't fast on Asar B'Tavis. Just like they don't fast on other fast days. Tisha B'Av not. Many poskim hold Tisha B'Av, unless you're a chayla, it's a suffix sakana. If you're just under the weather, you fast on Tisha B'Av. Asar B'Tavis not. So it's not chum. So it's either make up your mind. Is it chum or is it not chum? What's going on? So I think that perhaps the explanation could be as follows. We know that Asorah B'Tavis, the Shekhinah, according to Chazal, the Shekhinah left the Beis HaMikdash. It says the Shekhinah went out of the Beis HaMikdash and it was Yoshva B'Midbar. Whatever that means. It's like almost there was a distancing. Shekhinah left the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, one of the mahalchim I've given in the past, why you fast even on Shabbos, the way I explained it, again, it doesn't answer the question I was asking now. But conceptually, was that the Beis HaMikdash has two components. It has the physical component, the walls, the physical, and it has a ruchnius component, avoda, right? So the simple thing you could say is like this. We find that if building the Beis HaMikdash is not Doicha Shabbos, you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Right? But Avoida, yeah, Doicha Shabbos. Avoida, bring a Tomid and Musafim. Any Korban HaKavula is man. You bring on Shabbos. So you could say, Kishem, that in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the structure, is not Doicha Shabbos. Right? But the Avoida is Doicha Shabbos. So too in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The destruction of the walls can't be more chomer than the building of the walls. Just like the building of the walls is not Doicha Shabbos, so the construction of the wall, the destruction of the walls is not Doicha Shabbos. But the spiritual part of the Beis HaMikdash, the Avoida, is Doicha Shabbos. So just like it's Doicha Shabbos in the Avoida, when the spirituality left the Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah, that's also Doicha Shabbos. But again, looking at it just from that standpoint, then Asar B'Tavis should be more chomer in all areas, not just the fact that it's Doicha Shabbos. So I want to tell you an idea like this. We know that there are two ways for the Beis HaMikdash Mashiach to come. As the Gemara says in Chelek, Be'ito Achishem. These are two types of gulas, right? Be'ito means in its time, the designated time that Hashem has, that Mashiach has to come. Achishem is early. We bring him in before the Zman, which we hope we will do. Now, the Brisker Rav explains in many of his discussions on this matter of Mashiach, the Brisker Rav explains that there's a tremendous difference. Although Baruch Hashem we're holding close to the ultimate Zman, where Mashiach's going to come, no matter what. And that's why us Frumi Yidden are not so worried about global warming, because Mashiach will resolve the issue. Happens to be that now it's not really warming up that much anyway, but even if it would be warming up, we're not that worried about it warming up. Because Hanois and Shelach Atzoma will be taken care of. So what are we? So L'chaira, but we hope Mashiach should come now? So the Brisker Rav says you should know that bringing in Mashiach early is not just a question of timing. Unquestionably, every minute to bring Mashiach is a schus, tremendous schus. But he says, it's also the whole fallout. If you read the Gemara in Sanhedrin, about what's going to happen when Mashiach before Mashiach comes, even if it's only going to be a very short time. As Chofetz Chaim said, it's not geshmak. It's quite a bit of tzaris that are involved. Mochemes Geig Mogeg and other things. So Some want to say it happened already. You know, there's all kinds of ways of that. So Biskrov says if Mashiach comes a moment early, all of that doesn't have to happen. All of those predictions, all of those projections, not just predictions, projections of the Nevi'im, is only Be'ita. But if you bring Mashiach early, you skip over all the pre, you know what I mean, the pre-labor pain. There's no labor pains. Mashiach will just come. We'll get whisked to the Geula without all of that. So that's a tremendous incentive of bringing Mashiach early. That's Achishem. That's the schus of, that's the koyach of the Yid, of bringing in Mashiach before the Zman. Asar B'Tevis, the concept of Asar B'Tevis, was precisely that. The Rabbanu Shem showed Klal Yisrael that even though there seemed to be a Hashem left the Beis HaMikdash, but Hashem showed Klal Yisrael, you could fix it. It's in your power. See, when the walls come down, you feel like it was destroyed. But the walls are still up. Hashem showed Klal Yisrael, it's in your koyach to stop destruction. So Asara B'Tevis is really the fast which symbolizes Achishem. That it's in our koyach. It's in Klal Yisrael's koyach to stop the churban. Just like the Yerushalmi says, Kol Dor Shel Nivna B'Yomav, Kilu Charav B'Yomav, right? But it's harder for us to see it after a destruction. But if Hashem showed you before he destroyed it, look, 2.5 years, I showed you. It's up to you. It's up to you. So Asara B'Tevis, although it represents a tsar, but it shows us that there's ability in us to control that churban, and therefore to control the gula. It's Klal Yisrael's koyach. And therefore, Asar B'Tevis is a fast day, which is not just stam reflecting the past, but it's really giving us the koyach to change the future. So therefore, it goes under the banner of a tainus chaloim. A tainus chaloim, you could fast even on Shabbos. Because that's a fast which makes you feel better, makes you realize you can reverse it. The tainus chaloim is different than all other fasts. Because all other fasts primarily project, really reflect, don't project, they reflect a tsar that's here, well, that was here. And a tainus chaloim reverses. It's in a way, it's mechazik you. And therefore, it's appropriate that such a tzayim should even be b'Shabbos. Yankiv Avinu was going to tell his sons what's going to be the Achris HaYomim, what's going to be at the end. But that's all if things go through their natural course. That's the name Yaakov. Yaakov reflects the fact that Yaakov was born after Esav. Right? B'teva, we came late. Yisrael represents the Lamala Menateva. We can overpower it. We can reverse it. That's the name Yisrael. And that's why when Yankov Avinu wanted to tell his sons the Kates, the Achros Hayomim, Hashem didn't want that. Hashem wanted him to tell them Yisrael. V'shimuel Yisrael Avichem. He said he kopsu b'nei Yankov, right, which represents the Teva. Hashem said, no, I want to tell them the koyach of Yisrael. That's what I want you to tell them. And the koyach Yisrael is to bring the gula before it's done. The koyach Yisrael is to be able to have the achishena. And achishena is not achras hayamim. Achishena is before. And that was what Yaakov had to give over to his sons. Vayichi Yaakov beretz Mitzrayim. Taka Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim. And that's what he was going to give over his children. But Hashem made a dictate to him. Hashem told him to give a legacy to his children, not Yaakov. What he should give over to his children is Yisrael, is the ability to reverse it. We know that the Churban came because of Sinas Chinam. The Geula, therefore, is going to be with Avas Chinam. The Geula is going to be with Achdus of Klal Yisrael. That's the Geula. Each one of the Shvatim in isolation have chesronis and milos, each one. But if you put them together, they make up a beautiful am. Even the chesronis are milos. Shimon and Levi had a kanos. Achalkein b'yankiv, afitzim b'yisrael. Take that mead and put it into klal Yisrael. Don't make a whole, shave it, you know, in isolation. But in klal Yisrael, it could be a bracha. Yaakov Avinu said, heyosfu, gather together. And I'm going to take each one of you and make it a contribution. Because if you ba'achdus, then it becomes not a liability, it becomes a contribution. And Mimela, now what they have becomes a bracha. Ish ki b'chosei b'erachos. We asked, what do you mean? Some of them. I thought a bracha is you give somebody what he doesn't have. No. The koiches that each one had, if it's put together, then it's, and that's the achishena. That's the way to bring the gula before his man. So Yaakov didn't go off discussion. He didn't go off the topic. His topic was Mashiach. He was going to tell them the achris hayomim of Ito. Instead, he told them achishena. And what's achishena? Hey osvu. Come together. If you come together, you don't have to wait till the end. So what I originally had to tell you, what I was going to tell you, what I'm not telling you, and now I'm sending you a different message. But it wasn't off topic. It was precisely on topic. It was exact hamshach of what he was giving over to his sons. That, heyosfu v'agidu lochem. Okay. The fire is in the middle. The way they work usually is the fire is in the middle. Okay, so we can do now because I have only him.
Huh? So we don't fast. We don't fast.
How are you?
I don't nudge, but I was better off when I nudge. At least when I nudge, I got a text.
He had as many texts as you want.
I got a letter from my watch, my $100 check.
It is no rush, but am I going to get it?